The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. Might as well be the Sahara Desert right now. We had a drop of rain. I think I said that last podcast as well, and nothing has changed. I was gone for a week, come back home, and everything's dying around here. Whew. And if you're just tuning in, you're like, I thought this was a Monday podcast, damn it. No, this is a Tuesday, July 5th podcast for all you lowlifers this week for obvious reasons. Took a day off. My birthday was on Sunday, and so I just didn't do a damn thing. I got home at 3 a.m. Saturday morning. The boys and I had been up to Wisconsin. We did the Tour de Wisco. Made a swing up through there, smallmouth fishing, hanging out, camping. Beautiful trip. Beautiful trip. Had a few technical difficulties, but otherwise a great trip. And ended up down in Appleton, Wisconsin, in studio there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for MPFL. And then we were finished there on Friday afternoon when the tournament coverage ended. We jumped in the truck and drove, and it took us this time 13 hours because of crazy traffic outside Chicago and Louisville. And anyway, so rolled in at 3 in the morning, and that is that sucks when you're 39. But my boys were bound and determined. They were ready to get home, get to celebrating the 4th and hanging out here, and we'd been gone a week. So I put her in the wind, man, Red Bulled it, and made it back about 3 a.m. here to Middle Tennessee. So I am still worn out. So that is why you have it's long-winded, but that's why you have a Tuesday podcast, of course, the 4th of July, out of respect for that. Certainly wasn't going to post one yesterday. So here we go, you bunch of lowlifers. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July, had a great long weekend. It's always been one of my favorite holidays, and, you know, and just remembering what it's about. And it's very cool, though. I'm a child, and y'all know that. If you listen to this every week, you know I'm a gigantic kid. And that's the coolest thing about having kids to me is, and now I have excuses to, like, you know, do the things that they do now. And it's a lot of fun. But fireworks, just, I'm a pyromaniac. Like, I love fireworks. So I went and spent way too much money on Sunday on fireworks and haven't shot any yet. I didn't want to join the war out here by my house the last two nights, but this weekend we're having some folks over. It's the Triple Threat's birthday next Monday, so we're combining a Luke, Marissa, and Happy Birthday America party this weekend. So we finna blow some stuff up, though. Got some good friends of mine, the band Town, that have been on the podcast. They're coming down to play music, and we're going to have a good old Tennessee time this weekend here at the Traveling Circus headquarters. So looking forward to that, otherwise known as Marissa's house. looking forward to that for sure. But it's funny, I had the boys with me, and y'all comment if you've ever done this. And this may be a primarily redneck southern thing, I don't know. But the boys love to hear stories. Like, we're on a 14-hour drive. On the first leg of our trip, we drove almost 14 to go smallie fishing. And it's funny, man. We tell stories, you know, to your kids. And my boys hold on to stories, whether either I got in trouble or whatever. They love that kind of stuff. So I had told them at one point a story about me on one of my birthdays as a child, and they brought that up on the way up there, and it was funny. And I was like, it always brings back memories, because having that 4th of July time frame birthday, fireworks have always been a part of it, right? My mom said I was almost a firecracker, and so missed it by a day. And so I used to have friends over, right? Like birthday parties and all that, all your buddies. And we would have bottle rocket wars. And if you're just like, what? All of my friends did it constantly. But we would take PVC and make bottle rocket guns out of these. Man, we would duct tape handles on them, dude. Get out the hacksaws. And you had to hope that your mom and dad didn't catch you, because they would not let you do it. And then the dumbest thing that we did, other than just the actual act of shooting bottle rockets at each other in the dark and Roman candles, we would just put on like all the hunting clothes and just layer up so it wouldn't hurt as bad when they hit you. Highly flammable, okay? Just highly flammable. We did this for years. We would get out in cornfields and chase each other. But I had buddies who were like, you'd be running around shooting the bottle rockets at each other. One of them would pull out a Roman candle. And those are flaming little just fireballs. It's like the Mario fireballs. That's what a Roman candle is when pointed at another human. If you're a child listening to this, and I've met some of you young folks out there that listen to LBL, don't do this. Don't do this. This is exactly why I tell my boys the story. But there was a 4th of July. I'll tell a long story short, which is rare for me, but we live close to a golf course with my parents, and I had all my buddies over, man, a bunch. I was like my 8th grade year and had a ton of friends over, and my dad caught me building one of these weapons, one of these bottle rockets. It was just a pipe. You'd light them and put them in it, but it would help you aim, man, and then you didn't have that blowback from the fuse, the sparks, so you wouldn't get in that tube, man. Very smart. Redneck ingenuity at its finest there. But he was like, this one party, he could see the arsenal mount. Like, we were all, my buddies had them in their duffel bags, are coming over, sleepover. Well, as soon as he goes to bed, he had already told me, like, no bottle rocket wars, you hear me? Well, we didn't listen, and we went out on the golf course we lived by at the time, and some of us got in one sand trap, and we were shooting July 4th, July 3rd, that time frame, bottle rockets and fireworks over this green that they probably spend God knows how much money trying to keep alive. And we're just lighting each other up. And out of the darkness, my dad walks up and he goes, you boys having a good time? That's my boy's favorite part of the story, is me almost getting murdered. But then he saw that we were having a good time and he goes, listen, go in the field across from the house, get off of the dadgum golf course. How stupid are y'all? Go, you know, so we pack up all, he's like, and I want every one of the, and dude, there's just sticks from bottle rock everywhere. So we pick up everything best we can. And we go, and he goes in and goes to bed, and a buddy of mine set the field on fire. My dad told us to go to. So that's my favorite 4th of July story there. I've told the Duncan boys that a few times over the years. So I hope your 4th went better than that. And you got to spend it grilling out, swimming, doing whatever, fishing, hanging with family. All right, let's get to the sponsors real quick to make everything possible here at Low Budget Live. StarTron, StarBright, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in your vehicle, in your outboard engine. Gas prices are at a record freaking all time. I can't tell you. I paid over $5 several times on this trip. made me want to vomit. But you damn sure don't want to be running that ethanol-free stuff because it's just even more expensive. So you want to protect your investment. You want to get the most bang for your buck because they ain't going as far as they used to. So get you some StarTron. This bottle right here treats 256 gallons. You can get it anywhere. A little dab will do you. Drop it in the tank. Kick ethanol in the teeth. Get it out of there because all these fuels contain 10% ethanol other than the ethanol-free. And it'll gum up the works. Big ethanol likes to tell you that's not the case. But I promise you, I have experienced it before in the past when I did not use. I had on an outboard engine one time that was definitely the cause, bad gas. So use StarTron. Support the people that support the industry. And we appreciate the folks from StarTron for kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing you low budget live and not so live, obviously. It's way more not live these days. ProGuide Batteries, the folks from ProGuide supporting the podcast for the second year in a row, you can go there and get those lithium batteries that they've got, which are super light. They hold up to the test. They also got those AGMs. I'm running both right now, 31 AGM for a cranking battery. I get that question a lot from you guys. And then three of the 12-volt lithiums for my trolling motor batteries. You can use code LBL10 to let them know you are a low-lifer. Baitworks.com, bait-works.com. I mean, got it going on right now. Online tackle retailer. They've got anything from the smallmouth goodies I took up north to the deep water stuff you're going to need in the south right now and everything in between. Rods, reels. Just ordered a new Denali rod from them to play around with. Check it out. Keep hearing about good things about those. Just ordered some smallmouth baits from them before I went up north. And yes, I did use code Duncan-10 when I did that for a little bit of a break there at baitworks.com. But get on there. Do not hit order. I say it all the time in a joking manner, but if you don't want it, don't hit order because it's coming. I feel like someone from Baitworks personally brings it to your house. But working on two big things with them right now, hopefully we can announce very soon. Super excited about that, but get on there, get you some tackle. If you got a trip coming up, if it's just a normal, you getting ready for your Tuesday nighter, baitworks.com. They got it, Duncan-10. And last but not least, hang the banner, Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. I mean, I got to, I've been lying to you people, I thought that I was actually, going to have my new boat by this trip and things just the way they worked out. My boat is sold. Got a deposit. Actually got paid for it this week, and I'm delivering that in a couple weeks. But took it up there to Wisconsin one last trip in the X21. So it was good. The boys were – it was kind of a bittersweet deal. But, man, I cannot – again, up there on that big water, it just performs flawlessly. Like, it really does. I got out in some really nasty stuff up there as it blew 497 miles an hour every day. But I'm always impressed by the way that boat handles. I'm impressed by the way the Yamaha performs, fuel efficiency wise, long run wise. Like, that show just, man, there's not another combo, I think, that for me, like, I trust it. You get up north, you get somewhere, making a big run, no cell phone service. I got my kids in the boat. That may sound stupid, but I do trust my equipment in that regard. And it's, you know, it's just fun, man. It's a great rig. My boys have loved the boat as much as I have. So good trip to kind of end the X21 Pro Duncan chapter in, and great new things to come from Express. So looking forward to getting the new one here in a couple weeks and getting this one to its new owner, who will certainly enjoy it as much as I have. I want to say a huge thanks to them for being the official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus, the Express X21 Pro. Come on with it. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. If you follow along on Instagram at all, there's something I wanted to say on here. Instagram, Facebook. I made a post. I drove 14 hours up there. 14 hours, man, and we put the boat in, and I had trolling motor issues, my Garmin, and it just wouldn't work, and it was a weird, just kind of weird deal, to be honest. And y'all know I am a stickler for honesty on the show, and I made a post. I ended up going and buying, because I couldn't get it to work. I'm up there with the kids for 3 or 4 days of fishing. We've driven, we've set up camp, And it was frustrating, and there was nothing they could do to help me. Obviously, they weren't boots on the ground, and I'm up there, but I didn't have a spare, didn't have anything. So I literally called around. This was on Sunday when that happened. I called around, and I at Sportomotive in Appleton, Wisconsin. This is the only reason I bring this up. Sportomotive, Appleton, Wisconsin. Dave at Sportomotive. They had a Minn Kota Ultrex in stock, and I haven't ran a Minn Kota in a very long time. And I went down there and bought one. And I took the Garmin, put it in the back of my truck, got to get it fixed. And y'all know I'm Garmin through and through. I am for years now. But I had to get the boys back on the water. And I had a lot of people send me messages. They saw me post a thank you to Sportomotive. And they're like, oh, you switching to Minn Kota? No, I'm not. My new boat will have a Garmin on it. I will say this, and this is no shade, no shade. And a lot of people say, well, the Garmin wasn't working. That's the first time I've got to A and B. Since the Garmin's came out, like A and B on the same boat, the Minn Kota versus the Garmin. And I can say this. I do, like, the Force has a lot of advantages, man. It really does. It is quieter. It's stronger. Like, it was interesting getting to do that. Now, did it let me down this week? Abso-frickin-lutely. But... It was crazy. Like, even Hudson noticed it. He's like, Dad, this is different. But shout out to Sportomotive getting the getting a new trolley on there and getting us back out on the water. All right, our guest today is texting me right now. Hang on. Here we go. All right, so our guest today, sorry about that, folks. Everything happens in real time. So I'm just getting to know this guy. It's his first year with the National Professional Fishing League, and what a year he is having. He just won our event there at Saginaw Bay, an amazing event, very cool event. But not only did he win it, he's in second place. He was already having an incredible year. He is now in second place in the Progressive Angler of the Year standings. Kevin Rogers, who we had on last week, was in second coming into this event. Had a lackluster event by Kevin's standards this year. But Gary wins the tournament and now is second place, only 11 points behind Timmy Rames. I'm going to get into some NPFL stuff after this interview, but we're going to get the man on the phone right now, your winner of stop number four, Gary Atkins. Hey, Gary. Hang on 2 seconds. Something.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Hang on 2 seconds, Gary. Something has gone crazy with my software here. Hang on 2 seconds. All right, it wouldn't be LBL without technical difficulties. I don't know what in the heck just happened, but we're going to give Gary a call back. I didn't have him on the line there, on the recording software here. But
hello,
ladies and gentlemen, Gary Atkins. I think I've got you now, Gary.
Awesome.
Well, welcome to Low Budget Live. And man, I don't know. It was a quick fix, but I was like, I don't hear Gary in my headphones. Not real sure what's going on this morning.
Well, we got her figured out now.
We got her figured out, buddy. First of all, I want to say congratulations, man. It was such a obviously a nail biter that I don't think anybody really saw it coming down to the wire like that. Did you?
Actually, no, I didn't think it was going to be that close. Obviously, you've seen what happened to me the last day there, where I had lost a couple big bites and didn't quite have the weight that I was expecting to hopefully come in with, but it all worked out.
So, and you're talking for those folks watching at home, you got off to that may not have seen MPFL live, man, we go live at 8 a.m. Eastern and you were just catching them. It was like every cast, and Fat Cat and I, when we would go to commercial break, you know, we've been doing this. This is our 10th event, I think, together. 10th event. So we see things go down, right? We get to watch all the cameras and you can certainly tell momentum does play obviously a huge factor in professional tournament fishing, and you can tell when a guy's having that day, right? Like we saw it with Drew Six at Lake Hartwell. We saw it with Sokup last year in Florida. We saw it with Keith Carson at Wright Patman. You can just tell when somebody's fixing to shut the door, and you were having that morning. It was just boom, 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 boom. And then you had this just big one, man, just come off at the boat, and we saw you, and you had two happen, right? Pretty close to each other.
Yes, back to back, about 20 minutes apart.
Oh, my gosh.
One that would have probably put an extra half pound in the boat, and then when I lost the real big one, it was pushing five. I had it to the net three times, and on that last surge, when I tried to get away from the net, it just came unbuttoned.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't break. It just pulled off, looked like.
Yep, I don't feel I did anything wrong. It just, it's one of them things in tournament fishing. I mean, it's going to happen to everybody, but it just happened at a real bad time. Leading up to that, out of the three-day tournament, I had not lost a fish at the boat. And then to lose two back-to-back, it really had me down for a little bit. But then I quickly cleared my head and knew that, hey, if I just get one or two more bites, it's still possible to win this thing.
No doubt about it. And we were just all but calling it done, you know. I mean, that's our job, is to tell the story. And we're like, I mean, Gary's fixing to slam the door. And then you lost that first one. And I'm like, all right, that's no big deal. But then I saw the second one. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, that was a key fish. And then how do you – I mean, you're a veteran tournament angler. You've been around, especially with smallmouth in the Great Lakes region, man. I heard you say on live you fished every Great Lake now. Huron was a new addition to that this week. But how do you get over that, though, to kind of just – because you end up pulling the plug on that spot where you had done a lot of your damage. Like, you made a lot of adjustments before we got off live that day. But how do you overcome that lost fish, especially that big one?
Well, one of the big reasons why I pulled the plug is, you know, I fished the Great Lakes, like you said, a lot over the years. And the wind had died down and the current had stopped. So automatically I know the bite window is just got slammed shut on me. Mm-hmm. And then losing that fish just minutes before that, I knew that I had to change my game plan, so I went largemouth fishing, hoping to get a big bite. In practice, I was able to get a few big bites largemouth fishing, so that's what I did. I just blocked out the fact that I had lost that fish. I still had 4 hours left to fish, and I knew that if I could just get one more big bite, I still had a good chance I was going to win that tournament. So that's what I did. You know, I couldn't let it bother me anymore. I threw it to the side. I got it out of my head, and I just refocused and went after it again.
And it was cool to see that. And also, I was very upset to see that you switched to largemouth, because you were my lone smallmouth guy that we were covering that day. And I'd said smallmouth will win this tournament, and they did. They definitely did. Without smallmouth, you don't win the event the way you played it. But the largemouth were so strong there, man. Like, I was so – and I knew coming in, right, you hear all the talk about Saginaw, but I'm like, there's no way they're going to win. But had you not gone for largemouth the second day when we were covering you a little bit to kind of settle your nerves and to help you on the third day, like, ultimately largemouth helped you win. Did you ever think that would be the case going into that, if you won a Great Lakes tournament, that it would be a mix?
No, I did not. I thought going into this tournament, it was going to be a small deal, start to finish. I mean, knowing the Great Lakes, I know the size of the smallmouth in all the Great Lakes, and in all the research I've done going into that tournament, Lake Huron, Saginaw Bay, there's absolute giant smallmouth that live there.
Oh, yeah.
But really, it came down to the timing of our tournament. Had we been there 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks later, I don't think it would have even been close. I think the smallmouth would have walked away with it. You'd have saw huge bags.
Just we hit it right in that kind of typical post-spawn funk, it looked like. I know a lot of your fish were long and skinny. We were talking about that on live. It looked like a lot of them. And you were saying, and several of our guys were saying, there were actually a lot of fish still on bed in practice, but it was going away by the minute, some of those smallmouth.
That is correct. Yeah, I was catching 20-inch fish that were barely 3 pounds. And
wow.
Typically that's a 4, 4.25 pound fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was crazy to see. They certainly weren't fat like I am and ready to go, man. But this is your first year with us. Of course, it's only the second year of the NPFL, but it's your first year. And you were saying that our buddy Kyle Carpenter, we have a mutual friend. I love me some Kyle Carpenter. And you were, and I don't know if I should say that publicly, Gary. I'm not sure that's something Kyle, I should say.
Kyle's actually a really good guy. Yeah. I've known him for probably 15 years now. We've actually fished some team tournaments together up here in Green Bay and Sturgeon Bay area. And I talk to Kyle almost daily. We're that close.
He's one of my favorite folks that I've met getting to do this NPFL deal and being a part of the NPFL family. It's been a lot of fun. But you were saying actually on stage that he suggested to you that, hey, man, you should check this deal out because you'd been fishing the Opens. You had success in the Opens. You had a great event up at the St. Lawrence last year. I mean, where else can you go weigh 72 pounds and still not win an event?
Exactly.
Unbelievable, man. But what other than Kyle, like what decisions what factored into your decisions to jump in with the league this year?
Well, I followed the league all last year, all the tournaments. I watched them on the live, and mm-hmm. I just followed along. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed the way they're run. It's a real professional group of people. And it's more like a family atmosphere than it is actually a competitive atmosphere.
It really is.
I mean, the guys are competitive, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, they're out there to do anything they can to help you. And everybody gets along, and that's what I want to be a part of. In the Opens, I mean, there's some of that, but it can be real cutthroat.
It's
in the
very cutthroat, yes.
And obviously, my goal was always to make it to the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah.
And I've came close a couple times, making the elites, and then through the Bass Nation, I was just ounces away from making the Classic in the National Championship. And then was never able to get there. And I'm thinking, you know something? I'm going to give this NPFL thing a try. It really looks like something I would want to do. I want to be a part of it. And like I said on stage, I think it's one of the best decisions I've ever made switching over to the NPFL.
That was awesome to hear. And I'll echo you on that last year. And I talk about this a lot on the show, but that sense of community and the things you see out of our anglers helping each other is very, very rare because, you know, I fish the Opens, I fish the FLW Tour. I've been around a lot of pro bass fishing over the years, man, and it is even big local tournaments, you don't have that feel, it seems. And it really, Dudley talked about that a lot last year, and Watson has talked about it, and Bradley Holman, guys that come from other tournament trails that are a part of our deal, and they go, this is crazy. Like, this is such a Brad Knight, who joined us this year, Patrick Walters, that fish other things. They've said the same thing you said. So I always like to hear that because it certainly feels that way to me. And they run a great event. They're very smooth. They're great people. And I think, though, Gary, the schedule did having these two Great Lakes tournaments, it had to play into your decision a little bit, right?
Yes. I mean, it's no secret. I'm a smallmouth guy.
No doubt.
I mean, I could catch greenfish anywhere in the country because I've had enough experience through the Opens that I was able to learn along the way. But when it comes to smallmouth fishing, that's where my passion's at. And when I saw the schedule, I said, okay, there's two on there that I think I could maybe possibly win. And if I could just make it through the Southern Swing, stay competitive, do good up on the Great Lakes, yeah, who knows? Maybe I can even pull the Angler of the Year off it. Well, I looked at it this morning. Here I'm sitting in second place.
Well, that's why I say that, man. I was setting that up because you came into this event. It was funny. I was smiling real big here when you were going, yeah, that Southern Swing, if I could just survive. And I was going to cut you off and say, hey, well, Gary, you were seventh in AOI after the Southern Swing. Now you got a big trophy and a big check, and now you're in second place behind arguably one of our most consistent anglers over the last 2 years, Timmy Reams. And you're only 11 points out headed into Sandusky, man. And I'll be honest, Timmy top 10 this one as well. Like, he's picking up momentum. But this thing's going to get really interesting at Sandusky, I believe.
Yes. Well, one of the things that Saginaw Bay has that Sandusky does not, and that's a huge population, a large one.
Yes.
So Timmy was able to still focus on largemouth and have a great finish. He's going to have a little tougher time, I think, in Sandusky.
Yeah.
Staying competitive with largemouth, because the smallmouth are so prevalent there. It's going to take some big weights because the timing of the year. So I'm going to be targeting smallmouth again. And if he wants to keep in that first place position, he's going to have to target smallmouth. And we're going to see what kind of smallmouth fisherman he is.
we're going to have to put the gloves on. And that's what I want to see. It's the same on the Elite Series this year. I was talking to Polinick the other day on here, and it's like him and John Cox duking it out. And that's very much like Timmy is a – we've seen Timmy chatterbaiting, skipping docks. He is a shallow water guy a lot of the times. And, man, now we got you in the mix, the smallmouth guy, the Great Lakes expert. And how much experience do you have out of Sandusky proper? I know you've probably spent a ton of time on St. Clair. You've spent time on Erie in general. But out of that just Sandusky area, do you have a lot of experience?
I've fished one tournament out of Sandusky, but I have fished several out of the Detroit River,
mm-hmm.
where I did fish Erie all them times.
Okay.
So I have some experience out there. I know where they're at. It's just a matter of it's been a few years. I got to get out there and check some of my areas and relocate them schools of big smallmouth. And if I can find them, I feel I can catch them.
That's awesome. So you actually turned right out of the Detroit River instead of going left into St. Clair like so many mm-hmm. folks do. That's interesting. Okay. Because yeah. I was going to ask you, I think in this event, you'll be able to run wherever you want to. NPFL is really good about that. I mean, we will see guys go to St. Clair in that event without a doubt, make that crazy, crazy run. But that was going to be what I was going to ask. That's interesting. So you've got that Erie experience then.
I do. And I've fished St. Clair a few times also. So, you know, it may be a game time decision which way I go for this one. But right now my primary focus will be on Lake Erie, just because if we get bad weather, I want to be closer to Sandusky.
No doubt about it. And that can be, you know, how those lakes, and I know you've got more experience than most guys in our field, especially running that type water, being a Sturgeon Bay guy, being a Green Bay guy, you guys get pummeled.
We do. We do.
I spent a week up there before MPFL Live with my boys, and I think it blows 100 every day. I'm pretty sure it does. So you guys definitely get to fight that all the time. You said your focus will be smallmouth, but I want to switch gears to now you've got to win, but you're also in this Angler of the Year race, very much in the thick of it. Will that be in the back of your mind at all? Because, man, to win it in your first year would be amazing. That Golden Shield, like, is that – would that prevent you from making a crazy run to St. Clair or playing it safe, just kind of keeping that in mind, that Angler of the Year, is it going to be at the forefront of your decision-making?
I don't believe it will. I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to obviously try to win it. I'm going to do what it takes to win it. And if the Angler of the Year thing plays out, well, then so be it. But I'm going to go for the win at Erie, and hopefully things will just work out my way.
I love it, man. It's so awesome. I got to ask you, so did you – MPFL, we're still, you know, the new kids on the block, but have you just received a ton of, you know, texts and calls? I know you got to be busy. There were so many people. We were there in Wisconsin. I feel like we were having a pep rally for you at the Fix Production, at the Real Shot. I'll be honest with you. It was a little – I kept telling our director, Lance, I said, hey – We've got to calm this down in here. We've got to deliver the we're supposed to be unbiased, and we were all with air horns and stuff, you know, at the back of the Real Shot there when you catch one. It was really fun being with those guys that certainly care about you and they've partnered with you and seeing how excited they were that you were doing well. But have you just had a ton of support since the event?
Unbelievable amount of support. I didn't realize I had so many friends. My phone, from the second I weighed in, even today, I'm still getting text messages and Instagram messages and Facebook messages congratulating me and telling me how well-deserved it was. And they know how competitive I am, and they're glad to see me in this position.
You were very competitive, man. We kept saying that on live. Like, the look on your face, you were of determination. When you were going out that morning, the morning interview we did with you on Finale Friday – I'm like, better watch him today, boys. And then Fat Cat actually said at one point, I forget the exact quote that you said, but he goes, thank God the rest of the field can't hear that. Because it was very much you were gaining confidence with every fish you were catching. And then, you know, like the decision-making to pull the plug, go largemouth fishing, it was all so cool to watch. And that's the beauty of live and getting to do that. I'm so grateful that I get that opportunity to watch all that play out. But then something that we didn't know on live, and I wanted to ask you this, were you hearing rumblings of this Trent Palmer comeback? Because we weren't. When we went off live at 2 p.m., of course, you guys had 3 more hours of fishing time. The last leaderboard update, and you can actually see it if you go back and watch this, because we don't know. I checked the standings religiously, but every hour and then at the end of the show, we throw the leaderboard up, right? Well, the last leaderboard graphic update they did had Trent Palmer over you. And Trent had not been, I think, on the last top of the hour update, he was like maybe 7th or 8th. And we're like, whoa, because talking to Trent after day one, he's like, man, I've got some big ones found, but I'm not going to be able to fish for them on Thursday. He said, it's just going to be almost physically impossible. And it was. He went out there, we covered him, and he tried, and he never had a bite. He could see them, they wouldn't eat. Goes largemouth fishing, catches 11 pounds, makes it back out to the smallmouth, though, on Friday and catches 21, whatever it was, big stringer. And I just got to know, because he weighed in and I text, hey, congratulate, you know, good job, you know. And he's like, yeah, I probably blew it yesterday. And I said, dude, I think it's going to be a lot closer than you realize. I said, now, I haven't seen Gary since 2 p.m., but I'm like, and he had a lot of fishing time left. I think this is going to be close. Were you hearing that as you came in to weigh in? Like, hey, Trent's got him. Like, were you starting to get a little nervous?
I was nervous, because once I came in, I heard that he had been up on the hot seat for quite a while.
Yes.
I heard what he had for weight. And then I had a ballpark idea what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally knew it's going to be ounces one way or the other.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, I don't weigh my fish. I just.
Right. Balance beam.
I balance beam them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've caught a lot of smallmouth in my life, and I have an idea what I have. And I knew I was over 16, but I also knew I was under 17.
Yeah.
So I knew one way or another, it's going to come down to ounces. And sure enough, it did. It was four ounces,
buddy. I mean, it was such a great ending. But from a production side of it, for me, I was just bummed that we didn't have a camera with Trent to see, like, man, that battle go down on camera would have been amazing to watch you versus him and it come down to the wire. But he had fallen to 16th place. He just wasn't even on our radar. We didn't, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like the last 5 minutes alive, we're like, what? What's happening?
Where did he come from?
Yeah, and you can actually see my face. You know, we went back. I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, my God, because I was so surprised that his name was up there. But awesome event, dude. I appreciate you taking time out to come on LBL. I wish you the best of luck with the rest of the season. 2 more events to go, and maybe we'll get to do another one of these about AOI or yet another shield up there with some big smallmouth at Sandusky.
Well, I sure hope so. I really enjoyed it, and was honored to come on and talk to you today, and I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, absolutely, Gary. Appreciate you, man. You have a good week.
Yep, thank you, bud.
Thanks. Bye. Gary Atkins, ladies and gentlemen. Amongst confusion and technical craziness, as always, low budget live. Not real sure what happened there. You know, you do the same thing week after week after week, and it's like, why do I have this gremlin this week? I used to talk to Mark Jeffries at Bass Talk Live about that. He's like, there's always gremlins, and there are. But I appreciate you all putting up with that. Thanks to Gary for coming on. Great dude. And man, if you haven't gone back, go check out some of that live coverage, especially that last day, the morning of the last day. He's catching a man, and he had one rod on the deck. One rod, Todd. One rod, a spinning rod, Berkeley flatworm, and he's just out there doing it, man. He was catching them. He did pull out a spinnerbait at one point. He threw it 3 casts. Kept it honest, I guess, a little bit. But mainly that stinking flatworm doing work for him. But to win by 4 ounces, and I got to say, if you didn't watch this event, keep up with it at all, standings don't tell the story. They don't tell the story, right, all the time necessarily. And the first day, Gary was in 2nd. Trent Palmer was in 3rd. Sonar Pros, Trent Palmer. Electronics guru, Trent Palmer. And he had a big bag of smallies, and I do, you know, we had Patrick Walters on live as well, Trent, Sam Whitmire, Gary, and then Tim Wilson on day one, and I'm doing my homework, and I talked to Trent, and he was making almost a 50-mile run in really big water and had a great bag. And he says, Luke, I think I can win this tournament. So he tells me, and that's, you know, very uncharacteristic for Trent. And he says, man, when I get bit, they're big ones. And he said, I should have had over 22 today. I should be leading. But the weather's going to kill me tomorrow. And it was going to howl. And he said, I think I can get there, but I don't think I'm going to be able to fish. So tomorrow's about survival and come back on day three. You hear guys say that kind of stuff a lot over the years, right? Trent backs up and punts. He tried to fish smallmouth day two. Ends up catching 11 pounds of largemouth. Then catches over 21 pounds on day three, which is a great stringer at Saginaw. Big stringer. There were a lot of 15, 16, 17-pound bags, but that over 20-pound bag just vaults you. And he ended up losing by 4 ounces. He's on the hot seat in that final weigh-in forever and ends up getting beat just by 4 ounces. But amazing event. It could have gone either way. It's like Gary said, for either one of them, Gary lost a 5-pounder, one that looked to be close to five, and broke off another one over three. So Gary certainly had them, you know, to blow it out. Interesting event. Very cool event. Saginaw Bay, Bay City, Michigan. It was it's the first pro level with any kind of coverage event that's been in that area, and I don't think it'll be the last. Those guys absolutely blasted the largemouth. It was crazy. Took over 14 pounds a day to get paid. Now, we've got, you know, full field fishes all 3 days, so that you know, they get pounded on. By day three, these fish really know what's up, but they had an absolute great event up there. Kevin Martin finishing in third place. I want to give a shout-out to Kevin. He killed it on live for us. Crushed him on a largemouth bite, buzz baiting frog, and it was so much fun to watch it go down. But love it, man. Love the league. Just so grateful, as I say all the time, to get to do that. But this week in particular, so many cool storylines with largemouth guys. We would put up our quad box with four different guys fishing, and some of them would look like they were on Okeechobee, and some of them looked like they were in the ocean. It was a very unique event. And I hope you got to tune in. If not, I think it's on YouTube. You can go watch those last 2 days of coverage there. And it was a lot of fun. James Watson out on the water, me and Fat Cat there in studio in Wisconsin. But got to show my boys the studio. They were geeking out. So much fun. So grateful for my job there with MPFL. And if you haven't watched them, if you haven't checked MPFL out, give them a chance, man. That's all I say. You know, you may say, oh, you work for them. I'm telling you right now, the guys have it going on, and it's a lot of fun. The coverage, I believe, I'll put it up there. It's great coverage, even though I'm a part of it. It looks good, and our anglers do a great job of breaking down what they're doing, and we got a lot of personalities over there, and we got a lot of very, very talented anglers, just like Gary Atkins that we had on today. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. This is random Tuesday LBL. I will see y'all next week with another show. We'll be back on Monday next week, but thank y'all. Be sure to hug your mama. I'm going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. I'll see y'all next time.
Pound of Tupelo.
Sweet.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Pursuing
wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow.
Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.